Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Well, once again, it's time for the Redemption Time broadcast. This is Brother Larry Knowles. It's a joy and a privilege to be here with you this morning. And I appreciate everybody that's listening, that you took time to come this way. Thank you for your listening, and thank you for being here each week. And I trust that the broadcast is helping you and that it's a blessing to you. Well, let me give you my church announcements. There at the Mount Tabor Road in Maryville at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle, where Brother Rick Smeltzer is our pastor. We begin our services on Sunday morning at 9:45 for Sunday school, 10:45 morning worship, Sunday evening at 6, and on Wednesday at 7. That's Sunday at 6, Wednesday at 7. Invite you to come and be in these services with us. We do appreciate the opportunity to be back on the radio this morning. I've been sick this week. And this is probably the first day since the last one I made that I've been able to make a broadcast. But I am thankful for the Lord's touch and for his help that he has allowed me to be back and able to do this morning. Now we're going to have a song, and then we'll be back to bring you the thoughts that I have today concerning refuting the media blitz that has been unleashed upon God and his people. Well, I trust that song was a blessing to you. That wedding music, that is by the Dumplin' Valley Group, another a great group that sings for the glory of God that we have at our church at least once a year. They come every year at our homecoming in May, and what a blessing they are. If you've never heard this group, if they get close to you, you can get to where they're at. I know that they will bless your heart. Is that wedding music that I hear, and I keep playing these songs that relate to the end time and the leaving of the church from this world, because honestly, folks, I know that this is something that the scoffers say, oh, I've heard that all my life, and it hadn't happened yet. But I'm going to tell you, it's as plain as the front page of your newspaper. If you know anything about prophecy, we are watching it come to pass before our very eyes. And church, I can tell you that the greatest hope we have is that blessed hope. Because if the Lord doesn't come back soon and take this church out of here, we're going to begin to see some really hard times in this country. I believe that with my heart. And I long to get the message out to as many people as I can that the time is short and Jesus is coming soon. And when he comes and takes his bride away, he's taking the Holy Spirit with him. And friend, without the Holy Ghost convicting your heart, I don't know of any other way you can be saved. And according to the Bible, if you have rejected him during this age of grace, when the gospel was being preached, if you've heard that and you have responded by rejecting and scoffing and turning away, when that trumpet sounds and the church is gone and the Holy Ghost is gone, friend, your destiny has been sealed. You will have no more chances. You will have no more opportunities. You will get no more pleadings. You'll get no more invitations. You will be eternally lost. You will, by the lie that the devil is going to put in the mouth of the false prophet, and you will believe his lie just like the rest of the world, and you will follow him right into his final abode in the lake of fire. Folks, I don't get any pleasure out of telling you that. I don't say that out of any kind of madness or meanness or vengeance, because my heart breaks to think of anybody going to that place. I have loved ones that I don't know about, and I have loved ones that have gone on that I don't know about, and I don't even like to think about them being in that awful place. And yet, it is an awful place, and it is real, according to the Bible. If I discount the account of hell, then I have to discount the account of heaven, and believe that if one is not real, then neither can the other. And so I adjure you this morning to please, if the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart in the past or any time, and especially if he speaks to you today, would you just humble your heart someplace and pray to the Lord and ask him to save you. If you do that, I know he will, because he said so in his word and he can't lie. He's never failed yet. Nothing of his, not one jot or one tittle has ever failed. That means that every I has been crossed, dotted, and every T has been crossed. Nothing has been left out. Nothing will be left out. It will all come to pass. Which is why I have started this series of messages refuting this media blitz that I have been seeing hitting the airways on the internet, trying to make big things out of the folks that are leaving the church. And I cannot deny the fact that that's happening, but it does not surprise me, because when Paul was writing his final letter, just before he was martyred for the name of Jesus, he wrote to his young convert Timothy and said, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come, and can I say that that time is here, folks, when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fable. We're living in the day of the glorification of fables. People believe everything except the truth of what God has said in His Word. Now, I know there are some who may criticize me for using this time to do what I'm doing, because I'm not really preaching you messages with an outline out of the Word of God. But folks, I believe that it's time for us as Christians to push back. Now, I know this is not much. I'm one little voice that nobody ever heard of. Nobody cares anything about what I think or what I say. But yet, I want this to be on record that I'm pushing back against the establishment that is trying to eliminate our freedoms in this country to preach the Word of God and to worship in the way that we see fit. And folks, we sit back and we set aside and we watch things go by long enough. And I believe it's time that we begin to push back. And so we've been debunking some of these things that's been put out saying that the church is going down, everybody's leaving, and how bad things are in Christianity. Now, in professing Christianity, that's right. There are many people denying the faith. They're leaving. They have given up. They've gotten tired. And they've thrown in the towel. Now, I can't say that all of them were not saved, because some of them may have just got out of the way. But I can say this. The Bible talks about a time of apostasy. And I know that the greatest one will be after the rapture, but I believe we're seeing the edges of it already. And I believe that we're seeing a time when people are forsaking the truth and have turned to fables. And so let me look at this next one that we have in, on our heart to talk about this morning. The one that I want to talk about today that says that one of the reasons that people have turned against religion and against the church is because their teaching doesn't follow reasoning and contradicts the evidence. Well, let me say to begin with that I agree 100% that spiritual things do not agree with the methods and motives and actions of God. Why? Because they are spiritual things, and the world today is physical, and they're fleshly. And if you're trying to understand the things of God by fleshly standards, then you will not grasp it. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning with verse number 9, the Bible says, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." Now I want to stop right there long enough to say this. That is perfectly good logic. Cast aside the fact that it comes out of the Word of God. If you don't want to believe simply because God said it, just think about it for a minute. You know the things of man because the spirit of man is in you. You know what a man is. You know how man thinks. You know the things of man because the spirit of man that's in you. And so, then the things that are known of God are revealed by the Spirit of God that's in a person. And without that Spirit, you will not understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. Now then, let's move on. Verse 12. "Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Why does not the secular world understand the things about God? And why would they make a statement that it doesn't follow reasoning because they don't understand it. And the problem is, my friend, you cannot understand spiritual things without the Spirit of God revealing them to you. Therein lies the problem with that excuse about people leaving the church. That being the case, if somebody left the church simply because the understanding that they have of things does not line up with their physical, earthly, fleshly logic, then that does not mean that the Bible's wrong. That simply means they missed the mark. They didn't get the Spirit. Without the Spirit, they can't understand. As plain as your nose on your face is what that it says. Now then, they can't understand, and they always talk about not there with evidence. Now, look, let me just continue on. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, who's that? That's the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, folks, the problem that the world has today, understanding the things of God, is they don't know anything about Him. They've never been touched by His Spirit. They've never been renewed by His Spirit. They have not the Spirit living in them. Therefore, they cannot understand the language of God. Let me put it this way. If you do not understand the language of Spanish, you cannot speak in Spanish because you have no idea what that person is saying or how to respond. If you do not understand the spiritual things as is laid out plainly here in the scriptures that I just gave you, if you do not understand the things of God through the Spirit of God, you cannot grasp those things because you have no idea what He's saying or why. Now, I understand that, and it says right here that my man's reasoning, it's foolishness. It was foolish for a man to have to go to the cross and die on that cross to save sinful man from their sins. But listen, that is the foolishness of man. It was the wisdom of God. It was the love of God. It was the all-powerful knowledge of God that came up with that plan of salvation, that gave the most precious thing he had to die on a cross for the vilest and the dirtiest and the most sinful of us and among men. No, that doesn't make any sense to the human mind. That doesn't make any sense to human reasoning. We'd never do that. Why, the Bible says that for a good man, some would even die, and that's true. Some people have given their life to save good people. But I'm telling you, when he died to save people, he didn't just die for those morally good, or for those that that he knew would be salvaged, but he died for all men. And friend, that tells me that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many people you have done wrong, you can be forgiven simply because God said that if we come to Jesus and confess our sins to him and receive him as our Savior, we can receive that new life. He'll give us that Spirit. Then you can begin to understand the things of God. And they say that it refutes the evidence. Okay, tell me what the evidence is that they refer to. Show me the evidence that God does not exist. Now they tell me, show me the evidence that God does exist. I believe that the creation itself speaks loud enough to say that there is a creator. And the Bible gives us the account of how that worked and how it happened. And through the power of God himself, all of this was done. Show me the evidence of something else. Oh, they want to say that over the development of time that some little creatures crawled out of the water and lost its legs and laid there and eventually turned into something else, and then it became a frog, and then it evolved into something. Friend, that doesn't even make sense to a human mind. But where is the evidence that they talk about? There's no evidence. That is a theory, an idea, something some man thought up. Tell me the evidence that Charles Darwin was right about the origin of a man. Show me where that he could have proven the cycle of life and death as we know it. And then, where is the evidence that Jesus was not here? There is volume after volume after volume of secular information about Jesus Christ and his life here on earth. There are equally as many documents as there are about his life, as there are about his death, and about his resurrection, and about his ascension. One of the best examples I can tell you is the historian Josephus. Josephus was a Jewish historian. Josephus had no reason to give a good report whatsoever on Jesus, because according to his religion, they considered Jesus a fake. They considered him an imposter. They considered him to be someone. Now, they do say now that he was a prophet, that he was a good man, but they deny that he was the Son of God, and Josephus goes along with that, and yet in his writings, he depicts the very same things happening that is depicted in the Bible. And at one time he talked about this man, and then he made the statement, if it's lawful to call him a man. Josephus was on the edge of salvation because he almost recognized that Jesus was more than a man, and may have before he died, I don't know. But in his writings, he had no reason to try and give evidence that Jesus was alive because he opposed him. And then also, there's plenty of evidence that he was seen after he arose from the dead at one time of more than 500 people at one time. And so, where's the evidence that they talk about? So that one is refuted. And then there's the one that says they're leaving the church because one can be spiritual on their own. Well, let me tell you. The book of Jeremiah says in chapter 17 and verse 9 that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah, and the Bible also says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are death. So we find that Jeremiah has told us that within ourselves, what we have in our hearts is wicked, and it's deceitful. We might think we're okay. We might think this is it. And yet, we can be deceived. You see, these people that want to be spiritual on their own, most of them, if not all of them, begin with, well, you've got to empty yourself. Well, let me tell you, friend, when you do that, you're putting yourself in a very dangerous position. If you look at nature, nowhere in nature is a vacuum allowed to exist. What happens? If there is a vacuum, it'll pull something into it. And so it is, we find that if you empty yourself and you start seeking something outside of God Himself, you start being filled, wanting to be filled with something other than the Spirit of God, you are looking for trouble. You're looking to be possessed by a demon. Oh, I know, that's another thing they say people don't believe in, but I've got news for you. I could tell you some things that turn curl your toenail. Once, when I was just a very young preacher, years ago, I decided I was going to do a study on demonology. It didn't take me too long to figure out I better leave things alone that I didn't know anything about. I could tell you things that happened. Oh, but you wouldn't believe that either. Because why? Because it's spiritual things. And I could tell you some things happened to me that helped me to know you better wait and see if you can get strong enough to do this, because you are no match for what you've stirred up. Think about these accounts in the Bible of people who were possessed with demon spirits. There was the demoniac of Gadara. He lived in the tombs. He was crying day and night. He was miserable, possessed with legions of devils. They cut himself. And then there was the man whose son, man came to Jesus and said, I want you to help my son, because there's a spirit and it casts him into the fire and causes him to try to destroy himself. That's what you get if you try to be spiritual without the Spirit of God. And I know these are extreme cases. Maybe not everybody gets that convinced. But friend, if these demon spirits can convince you that you're okay, that you're morally as good as anybody else, you don't need the church, you don't need God, just do the best you can, treat your neighbor fairly, be honest, be a good person, that's all you need to do. And if he can keep you convinced of that until you die without Jesus, he has accomplished everything he wants to do. He will have deceived you and caused you to miss the Lord Jesus Christ. And in hell, you'll lift up your eyes one day, being in torment. Now, friend, I'm drawing to the end of my broadcast again. And this has gone along some lines that I've told you enough about the Lord Jesus Christ today to save the world. Everything you need to know. He lived, he died in your place, in my place, gave his life that we might have life, was buried and rose again. Today, he's soon coming back to claim his church. His grace will be over. The opportunity for many will be cut off. Friend, I trust that you're not one of those, but if you are, I want you to know that today you can humble your heart. And if you're where you can, get out on your knees and humble yourself before God. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, save you by his marvelous grace, and on the authority of God's word, I promise you he will. Now may God bless you.